back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Well, we're positively into Preakness time around here, but it's always a great time for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We got a unique one going on this week, and by the time you hear this, it'll already be in the books. The Land of Kush and the Vegan Crab Cake and vegetarians. And I've learned that Brooke Learman is not a vegetarian. She's a pescatarian. I learned that. Also through Vignaraja and Kirby Fowler from the Maryland Zoo joining us to talk about brew at the zoo and learning about vegan crab cakes. And they also have great soul food. So it's going to be great at the Land of Kush. And we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour also next Friday on the 27th. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our pals at the Goodwill and our newest sponsor, Window Nation. John Martin joins us each and every week, and we talk a little sports wagering. We talk some lottery. We talk some springtime and all this stuff. I've been talking horse racing all week, John, and that was the original thing you could actually wager on, right? So the fact that I'm doing Knicks next week, it's a horse racing week around here. So how about that? We get one of those.
It is very definitely Preakness week here in the state of Maryland. And it's also racetracks promotion week. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a monitor game, which means that various retail locations, players watch on a TV monitor, basically a computer monitor, if you're more in with it today, the graphic presentation of a horse race. And during the Triple Crown, we always like to do a little promotion. So just call it our six for five. You get $6 of value for $5. So you're able to wager on it. Players really have a lot of fun with it. I got to tell you, if you walk by one of these things and just give it a passing glance, you will think you are watching an actual horse race. The graphics are incredibly realistic. Players have a lot of fun. And every once in a while, we get some big, big winners on those superfecta bets. You know, we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars. Matter of fact, we had somebody at Edgewood recently, $86,000, $86,000, Nestor, on a racetracks game. So that's some pretty fun stuff.
Well, I mean, the incentive to win money and the incentive to play and have a good time and the horse racing, as I said to Marty McGee earlier this week from the Daily Racing Forum, that's sort of the original thing. We're now into a point where we can go down to five different locations. There'll be more soon and play Stanley Cup or NBA this weekend, PGA Championship. I've been talking a lot of golf this week. In addition to all this, you know, this has sort of opened it up for other people to do other things as well. Right.
You are truly a Renaissance man.
I try to be. You just have to go to Vegas to do this stuff, you know.
Golf, hockey, basketball, horse racing, vegan crab cakes. Is there nothing, sir, that escapes you?
Well, the vegan crab cake thing is going to be, I've had people say to me they're shellfish intolerant, or they just don't like crab meat, or they're vegan or vegetarian. And they say, how do I come to the crab cake tour? Because, I mean, you thought the crab cake tour was a good idea. A lot of people have come out and think it's a good idea because we like crabs, right? So then they said, can I get a burger? Can I get a salad? And a couple folks said they were vegan. And they said to me, this place, Land of Kush, makes a great – and there's also at Gertrude's at the BMA, which I'm going to get there too. They have a vegan – famous vegan crab cake. So this is – I've never had a vegan crab cake. I'm going to present it. I'm going to talk about it. I love soul food. I like vegetables a lot. I like vegetables more than most people like vegetables. So there.
Well, let me add this to your shopping list then because okay. While that's all well and good, I would submit to you, sir, that you have a small part of the population, my wife being one of them, who need to have a gluten-free option. Because, you know, many times the great crab cakes and your great crab cake marketplace will tell you, you know, you got a little breadcrumb in there, you got something that kind of makes
it. No nice bueno for your wife, right?
No. So when we're scouring menus, we're looking for places, and there are a few. Don't know that I found them at a level that I would repeat a visit, but you know, there are some that are gluten-free crab cakes. So those are rare.
Well, I'll give a shout out for gluten-free because I have a lot of friends with family members and they're gluten-free. And I had an occasion literally last week, right? So last week I was out in the Bay Area, and one of my dear old friends has celiac, right? So I had to Google it a little bit and figure out. And she said, I have a gluten-free diet and elimination diet. I'm like, okay, where can we eat? I eat everything. And we wound up going to this Thai place. And she ordered this appetizer that it was rice noodles, right? So, which I like. It was so delicious, right? So I'm going to be talking about that a little bit at Landa Kush too, because we can mix in, like, I've done a lot of more crab cakes. My friends are texting me. I'm driving from the Philadelphia airport to Salisbury. Is there a place? And I'm like, yeah, there's a place. So I've gotten a little wisdom on this, but I'm trying to open my mind to a vegan crab cake, John, you know?
Well, and when we open one's minds, we're open to new possibilities, like a lot of fun times here at the lottery. See what I did there, Nestor?
I saw what you did. Well, tell me about some fun times at the lottery. This is your job and goal to talk about the lottery. That's why we're here. Let's do that.
We had a great run last week, as you know, with our all-time multi-match jackpot winner, $5.1 million winner, an individual from Westminster.
Has this person come forward then?
Person has come forward, has claimed.
Oh, that's news. You're making – I did not know that. Okay.
Yes. So that is in the books, $5.1 million multi-match. So that it reset to $500,000, which is the base level. And it will hopefully slowly start to crawl and grow to those rarefied numbers again. We're past the triple digits on both Powerball and Mega Millions this week. You know, there's something magical about that. It's not real until you get $100 million plus.
You know what's magical about it is my wife and I'll be at Royal Farms because we need gas, and she'll look up and see it, and she'll go in and play. Because it takes a third digit to get my wife into those two games, but the minute it happens, she notices and she plays. Yep. She does.
Yep. So that's where we are with those two games. Always fun promotions. MDLottery.com to keep up to speed and up to date on all of our player promotions, which include things like, we still have a monthly jackpot, rolling jackpot for our Monopoly scratch card and fast play games. So Monopoly players are still enjoying for another month or two the rolling jackpots. We just had a gentleman from Salisbury win this week, the most recent monthly installment. The Home Run Riches, our scratch-off Home Run Riches bases loaded game, where contestants of the game are selected and they're hoping for the O's to hit a home run or two or three during that game for cash prizes.
And this is where I come in and say they did move the fence back, right? So they moved the fence back. And so the other night, Judge hits what might have been, could have been, should have been, then gets thrown out. And I'm thinking, all right, maybe the worm's turning for the Orioles. Maybe the curse of the Bambino. I had Gibbons on 2 weeks ago from the Babe Ruth Museum. I'm like, ever since we built Babe Ruth out there, let's move him down the street. There's something about the Yankees kicking our asses, and they're pretty good. But that was a moment. We had a moment, you know what I mean? And the fence moving back has created moments for fans.
It happens from time to time in your business and my business. Every once in a while, someone who will enter the fold, a new employee of ours who professes their undying love for that team in the city. And, he was in here puffing it up the other day about, their record. And I said, dude, it's the middle of May. You haven't won anything. It's the middle of May.
Spoken like a Guardians fan. Spoken it's like
Hey, I picked up a Guardian. I'll bring it in next time.
Big my C Guardian on it. Hat.
Which
it's a
one?
Big C, right? It has a big C.
Oh, no. I mean, the C, if I'm going Guardians, I'm all in. It's got a G with kind of the winged logo.
I haven't seen that yet. I want to check that
out. You'll see it more than you care.
By the way, on the sports front, and I've spent a little bit of time with this, because you're from Northern Ohio, Cincinnati is involved in the World Cup bid, right? We're involved in the World Cup bid. It's the most Baltimore positive sports thing I can think of, because you talked about one thing serving another. The Washington Baltimore bid that's come together here. John, I've been here all my life. I've been doing this 31 years. I've never seen Baltimore and Washington come together on this kind of thing that it could really be. This could be one of the most incredible things to ever happen to the city. And I don't think I've been trying to crow about it and say, if this happens next month, that we get six World Cup games here in 2026, and it's because the DC stadium's no good, which I love that even more, but to for what it can mean for the community. Sports really does have that power in a different kind of way.
It does, you know, and the thing about it, and in my storied career, every once in a while I've been involved with big deals like this. I mean, this is a big deal. You know, you read about oftentimes when countries win Olympic bids and how they have to build venues and the venues are miles apart. Well, that's exactly what the World Cup is like too with soccer. I mean, you're talking about Washington and Baltimore sharing the regional focus. But you're talking about something that's in 2026. I don't want to even know when they started this bid process. I mean, that's a long window.
No, the bid goes back to this. So I went to the World Cup in 2006 in Germany. And when I came back, my eyes were open, right? I went to Zurich. I was in Amsterdam, and I was at several of the German sites when the U.S. played. And I saw the festivals. And literally, John, this behind me, the hill and the water and where I lived, this was the view where I lived at the time. I'd lived downtown maybe 4 years at the time. I thought, man, we could be such a great – if we embraced the World Cup for a month, people from all over the East Coast would come to Baltimore to watch big televisions on barges in the water. We could be this thing that they did in Berlin. They had 1 million people every night come down to the riverside in Berlin, bringing people together. And I thought this would be great for Baltimore. I talked to Terry Hazeltine, who's been unbelievably, incredibly – like he's at the front of getting this done. That they got another soccer game. Arsenal's coming in. But I went to him. I went to the mayor at the time. I went to people, Ed Hale, who was in the soccer business, and said, this would be amazing. I threw an event in 10, lost more money on it than I did anything in my life. With Don Mohler and Towson, we threw a soccer festival with a big screen TV on the square in Towson, because I felt like it would, that this is something we could own, that, and eventually we would get a World Cup. Terry gave me a jersey that day that was a number 22. And the reason it was 22 is America was trying to get the 22 cup. And it said Baltimore on the back of it. It was a U.S. team jersey. And it's gone now because it kind of letters peeled off and it's been a long time. But we're, you know, trying to do all this and lay this groundwork. When you talk about how long it's taken, that's the pipeline and the corruption, right, of how Russia got it and Qatar got it and the money and the government and like all of that. But they've tried to clean all that up. But Baltimore is on the cusp of doing that. So we talk about sports and World Cup and wagering even, you know, all of that. All that's going to be available.
We may even have mobile wagering by 2026, Esther.
Well, mobile wagering by the time the World Cup comes here at the end of the year, right? I mean, the World Cup's going to be a heavily wagered upon thing in this year, later in the year. Give me a little update. Swark me a minute.
Yeah. I wish I had an update. I mean, the essence of it is, as you know, your viewers and listeners are painfully aware, is we are still stuck in kind of the middle here. We're still awaiting the industry analysis that is a requirement before SWARC can begin to put regulations in place and begin accepting applications for the remaining brick and mortar retail, 30, up to 30 retail locations still to be added, as well as up to 60 mobile licenses. So until that process really gets through the SWARC commission, there's really not a lot we can do. And we continue to get ready. We continue to vet the applications we have in front of us. You know, the five locations, the casinos up and running, those aren't static. They're dynamic. There are licenses that continue to need to be reviewed as employees come and go, as vendors and contractors come and go in these entities. So it's not just you do it and put it on the shelf and forget about it.
So it's not every year or two you come up. It's whenever we want to come in and see the books.
Daily. I mean, you're really regulating that on a daily basis. So we've got those five well up and running. We've got the next two will probably be in the pipeline still, hopefully before the summer is out. We haven't even started the summer yet. We were hopeful to do it in the spring. I don't know that we're going to get either one of them up and running before, but that could still change. You know, it's really more on them. And that would be hopefully the Bingo World in Anne Arundel County, as well as the riverboat on the Potomac, down on the banks of the Potomac River.
I'm getting a crab cake down there in August.
There you go. You might be ready to go.
But for mobile, but, what can people, so the bricks and mortar happen first, right? And then the mobile will still sort of be behind a little bit, but mobile we're still is January 1 sort of kind of, or no?
Yeah, I mean, we're still working as to what the timeline is going to be in terms of, you know, do they start at the same time, bricks and mortar and mobile? Does one lead the other? You know, as we're seeing now with the reality is it's not so much when you start, it's when you end. You know, we approved awarded licenses to four additional entities way back December, January. And here we are now, you know, May, June, and still not, you know, come to opening any of these four locations. So
speaks to how difficult it is to do, right? Like just in general, everybody wants to own a thing or a restaurant or a bar, and then you have to like go do it. And it's harder, especially if you've never done it. And most of these folks have never done it.
We had a great session here, when I say here, in Maryland Lottery and Gaming Headquarters building back at the beginning, first week of May. Great session with a lot of industry leaders talking about, and it was targeted for people who think they want to get in the business. You know, small businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses.
Truly an information session, right? Literally.
It was ideal. And for those people we talked about last time, we have a video of the two-hour session on the SWARC website. We showed folks that last time we chatted, but I would encourage them to continue to go there if they need an update on that information. But that's really where we're at. We're hopefully going to be moving forward, and never fast enough for people. I'm constantly reminded by phone calls and emails that I get that we're not moving fast enough for them. But the process is long, and we would hope to get up and running before the end of the calendar year. That would be the plan.
Should be a big weekend either way. I mean, we got big horse racing going on. I got golf going on. We got sports is really vibrant and relevant again. And John, you know, with masks on and COVID and all that, it does feel nice to have this race being run, to have some normalcy, to have baseball games going on. And I know we talked about events and getting out around town as well. John Martin, the Maryland Lottery. He is the director of all things around there, lottery and gaming. I have my Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. I'll be giving these away at the Land of Kush this week, and then next week at Nick's Grandstand Grill up in Timonium. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. John, I appreciate you. I know your time's short here this week, and we'll check in again next week, and we'll get the multi-match back up soon.
Yes. Thank you, Nestor. Good talking to you as always.
Always a pleasure. John Martin, talking a little baseball, a little sports, a little World Cup, a little gambling, a little Betty Boop, doing it all. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.